Blog Talk Radio.
Such a freedom I found in you. Hallelujah. The earth is the Lord. She has risen. Hallelujah. Today, we're going to be talking that resurrection word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for a resurrection word this morning. Hallelujah. Let's pray and let's get started. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God, for this day that you have made. Lord, I am rejoicing and glad in it. Lord God, I ask you to keep those that are traveling in this awful snowstorm and sleet and ice. Keep them covered under the blood, oh God. Cover them from the crowns of their heads to the soles of their feet. Cover each and every vehicle and all of its drivers, oh God. Cover each and every one. Father God, we ask you to keep our children safe as they travel to and from school, oh God. We're asking you to keep every employee that had to go to work today because they were essential. Father God, we ask you to cover our nation, cover our lawmakers, cover our president, cover those that are in powers and positions of authority, oh God, that they will do what is right in your sight, Father God, not in their sight, but in your sight. Father God, we ask a special coverage over shepherds today, Lord God. Cover all of the pastors and all of the fivefold ministry, Lord God, for they are under attack. Attack by those that are in power and attack by the enemy of this world. Father God, we ask you to keep them covered. Cover them from all points, Lord God. Cover them from the left. Cover them from the right. Cover them from above and cover them from below. Cover them from the east, the west, the north, and the south, oh God. Keep them covered. Lord, your covering is what keeps them able to shepherd in a clear and honest way. Lord God, let your word permeate minds, hearts, and spirits this morning. And Lord God, I pray as I pray every day that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your holy sight, Father God. For you are my strength and my redeemer. And Lord, I cannot do this without you. So Father, please increase as I decrease. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Giving honor to my Heavenly Father, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for this word this morning. And thank you for every listener, Lord. Those that listen now and those that listen later, I ask you, Lord God, to keep them covered and ask you, Lord God, to let them and let the words of my mouth permeate their spirit as I speak what you give me to speak. And Lord God, let someone who is not saved be saved today. In Jesus' name, again, I pray. Amen. We are in the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, and we'll be reading this morning Leviticus chapter 5 through chapter 6, verse 30, Psalm chapter 24, verses 1 through 6, Proverbs chapter 9, verses 7 through 9, and Matthew 28, verses 1 through 20. So the 28th chapter of Matthew we'll be reading this morning. And then, God willing, on tomorrow, we will be starting a new book, the book of Mark. Hallelujah. Look at us. We're just moving right along in the word of God. And the word that God gave me this morning for our title was this: the earth is the Lord's. He has risen. Hallelujah. The earth is the Lord's. He has risen. But we know that our Savior is the Father, is the Son, and is the Holy Spirit. He is one with our Father God, and he has risen. He has taken our sinful selves, all of our sins, to the cross so that we may be redeemed. And it says this, if a person sins in hearing the utterance of an oath and is a witness, whether he has seen or known of the manner, if he does not tell it, he bears guilt. Or if a person touches any unclean thing, whether it is the carcass of an unclean beast or the carcass of an unclean livestock or the carcass of unclean creeping things, and he is unaware of it, he also shall be unclean and guilty. Or if he touches human uncleanliness, whether uncleanliness with which a man may be defiled, and he is unaware of it, when he realizes it, then he shall be guilty. If a person swears, speaking thoughtlessly with his lips to do evil or to do good, whether it is that a man may pronounce by an oath, and he is unaware of it, when he realizes it, then he shall be guilty in any of these manners. And it shall be, when he is guilty in any of these manners, that he shall confess that he has sinned in that thing, and he shall bring his trespass offering to the Lord for his sin which he has committed, a female from the flock, a lamb or a kid of the goats, as a sin offering. So the priest shall make atonement for him concerning his sin. Aren't we glad we don't have to do that anymore? Find unblemished lambs, because that would be kind of impossible in our day and age to find, unless we were in an agricultural community, to find unblemished livestock, lambs and goats as offerings. Thank God for Jesus. And thank God he has risen and that he went to the cross for you and I, so we don't have to find a female in the flock, an unblemished lamb. We don't have to find a goat for our sin offering. Our sin offering has already been made, and all we have to do is go to the altar and ask forgiveness. Talk about blessed beyond measure. Thank you, Jesus. And it goes on to tell us, if he is not able to bring a lamb, then he shall bring to the Lord for his trespass, which he has committed, two turtle doves or two young pigeons, one as a sin offering, the other as a burnt offering. And he shall bring them to the priest, who shall offer that which is for the sin offering first, and wring off its head from its neck, divide it completely. Then he shall sprinkle some of the blood of the sin offering on the side of the altar, and the rest of the blood shall be drained out at the base of the altar. It is a sin offering. And he shall offer the second as a burnt offering according to the prescribed manner. So the priest shall make atonement on his behalf for his sin which he has committed, and it shall be forgiven him. And if he is not able to bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons, then he has sinned shall bring for his offering one-tenth of an ephah of fine flour as a sin offering. He shall put no oil on it, nor shall he put frankincense on it, but it is a sin offering. Then he shall bring it to the priest, and the priest shall take his handful of it as a memorial portion, and burn it on the altar according to the offerings made by fire to the Lord. It is a sin offering. The priest shall make atonement for him for his sin that he has committed in any of these manners, and it shall be forgiven him. The rest shall be as the priest, as a grain offering. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, if a person commits a trespass and sins unintentionally in regard to the holy things of the Lord, then he shall bring to the Lord as his trespass offering a ram without blemish from the flocks with your valuation in shekels of silver according to the shekels of the sanctuary as a trespass offering. And he shall make restitution for the harm that he has done in regards to the holy thing, and shall add one-fifth to it and give it to the priest. So the priest shall make atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering, and it shall be forgiven him. If a person sins and commits any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he does not know it, yet he is guilty and shall bear his iniquity. And he shall bring to the priest a ram without blemish from the flock with your valuation as a trespass offering. So the priest shall make atonement for him regarding his ignorance in which he errs and did not know it, and it shall be forgiven him. It is a trespass offering. He has certainly trespassed against the Lord. Chapter 6 of Leviticus. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, if a person sins and commits a trespass against the Lord by lying to his neighbor about what was delivered to him for safekeeping, or about a pledge, or about a robbery, or if he has extorted what was lost and lies concerning it, and swears falsely in any one of these things that a man may do in which he sins, when it did, it shall be because he has sinned and is guilty. Lying is a sin. Stealing is a sin. Taking somebody else's stuff, which is stealing, is a sin. Hallelujah. And the Lord has shown us and told us about it. And as we continue in this word, God has given us some edits, and we need to listen to this. You know, some things we think are just old, that's old-timey stuff. Maybe we don't have to get a ram or a lamb or a goat. But the sins have not changed since the 3,000 so years ago that this was written. Sin is sin. No big sin, no little sin. Sin is sin. And lying and cheating are big deals to God. Right up there with adultery. Right up there with taking the Lord's name in vain. Right up there with hate and unforgiveness. Come on now. Let's keep it moving. And it says this, then it shall be because he has sinned and is guilty that he shall restore what he has stolen or the thing which he has extorted or what was delivered to him for safekeeping or the lost thing which he found or all that about which he has sworn falsely. He shall restore its full value, add one-fifth more to it, and give it to whomever it belongs on that day of his trespass offering. And he shall bring his trespass offering to the Lord, a ram without blemish from the flock, with your valuation as a trespass offering to the priest. So the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord, and he shall be forgiven for any one of these things that he may have done in which he trespasses. And then it goes on to tell us in verse number 8 of chapter 6 of Leviticus, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. The burnt offering shall be on the harp upon the altar all night until morning, and the fire of the altar shall be kept burning on it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment and his linen trousers. He shall put on his body and take up the ashes of the burnt offering, which the fire has consumed, on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. Then he shall take off his garments, put on other garments, and carry the ashes outside the camp to a clean place, and the fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it, and it shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order on it, and he shall burn on it the fat of the peace offerings. A fire shall always be burning on the altar. It shall never go out. This is the law of the grain offering. The sons of Aaron shall offer it on the altar before the Lord. He shall take from it his handful of the fine flour of the grain offering, which it with its oil and all the frankincense which is on the grain offering, and shall burn it on the altar for a sweet aroma as a memorial to the Lord. And the remainder of it Aaron and his sons shall eat with unleavened bread. It shall be eaten in a holy place. In the court of the tabernacle meeting, they shall eat it. It shall not be baked with leaven. I have given it as their portion of my offerings made by fire. It is most holy, like the sin offering and the trespass offering. All the males among the children of Aaron may eat it. It shall be a statute forever in your generations concerning the offerings made by fire to the Lord. Everyone who touches them must be holy. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, this is the offering of Aaron and his sons, which they shall offer to the Lord, beginning on the day when he is anointed, one-tenth of an ephod of fine flour as a daily grain offering, half of it in the morning and half of it at night. It shall be made in a pan with oil. When it is mixed, you shall bring it in. The baked pieces of the grain offering you shall offer for a sweet aroma to the Lord. The priest from among his sons, anointed in this his place, shall offer it. It is a statute forever to the Lord. It shall be wholly burned, for every grain offering for the priest shall be wholly burned. It shall not be eaten. Also the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, this is the law of the sin offering. In the place where the burnt offering is killed, the sin offering shall be killed before the Lord. It is most holy. The priest who offer it for sin shall eat it in a holy place. It shall be eaten in the court of the tabernacle meeting. Everyone who touches his flesh must be holy. And when its blood is sprinkled on any garment, you shall wash that on which was sprinkled in a holy place. But the earthen vessel in which it is boiled shall be broken. And if it is boiled in a bronze pot, it shall be both stirred and rinsed in water. All the males among the priests may eat it. It is most holy, but no sin offering from which any of the blood is brought into the tabernacle meeting to make atonement in the holy place shall be eaten. It shall be burned in the fire. Ooh, hallelujah. Our sins are burned in the fire. Thank you, God, for your holy place. Thank you for your word today, Father. And I have a few life lessons from Leviticus, a couple actually. And the first is Leviticus, if a person sins, though he does not know it, yet he is guilty and shall bear its iniquity. His iniquity is real. This is what Dr. Stanley tells us. Guilt is real. It's not merely a feeling. Hardened sinners may feel no guilt, but in fact bear great guilt. This is why we need the blood of Christ to cleanse us from all sin. And we're going to go over to 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. First John chapter 1, verse 7. And verse 7 says this, and I'm coming out of the Christian Standard Bible for this. And it says, if we walk in the light, as he himself is the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. I'll read that one more time. If we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. And this is what Dr. Tony Evans said in his words. He said, fellowship with God is determined by our walk, not by our talk. Whew. Only as we live fully exposed to the truth of God is the ongoing cleansing work of the blood of Jesus activated to reveal, cleanse, and empower us to address the sin that has been exposed. Then fellowship with God is maintained and expanded. Failure to do this keeps God's work dormant in the life of the believer. What a word. That's a good word. And as we go down, we're going to go also to Luke chapter 19, verse number 8. And it says this in Leviticus 6 and 5. All that about which he has sworn falsely, he shall restore its full value and one-fifth more to it. When we have defrauded or hurt someone, genuine repentance requires restitution. It is not enough to say, I'm sorry, or please forgive me. We are to put right what we have done wrong. You know, and most times folks don't even think to do that. They don't think that, you know, we owe a debt that we need to pay. In other words, they feel entitled to do whatever it is that they've done. And that's where the problem is, the spirit of entitlement. You know, I can do whatever I want because, you know. And a lot of times, it's our families that do stuff like this. You know, families don't pay back debt. You know, family members don't, and let's call it straight. There's a lot of times church members will borrow and never pay back. And you forgive and keep it moving because you don't have time to dwell in all of that. Because if you do, it doesn't hurt them, it hurts you. This is me talking, not God. I ain't going to say God told me to say this. But I feel this way, that when you walk around with a whole bunch of unforgiveness because somebody owes you something they never paid you back or whatever the situation, it is not hurting that person. Only God can deal with that person. God is the one that will punish them. But when you walking around with all that hatred in your heart and all that unforgiveness in your heart, you the one that's going to wind up sick. You the one that's going to wind up dead, all up in your sin of unforgiveness. But when you let it go, shake it off, give it to God and keep it moving, then you don't worry about it. You gave it to God, and God will handle it. And I'm telling you, God will handle it. Don't worry about what he did, she did, they did, boo-boo and them down the street did to you. Let it go. Give it to God and keep it moving. Take all that stuff out because we wonder why people wind up with cancers and all kind of things. Sometimes it's because of unforgiveness. And sometimes it's just that was the destiny that God gave for them. You know, but the bottom line is he only gives what he gives because to make us stronger. So God knows everything, but we cannot let something fester in us, cause us to get ulcers, cause us to have all kind of health problems because we run around unforgiving in our heart. Let that mess go. And I found out my own self. I had some unforgiveness. And I had asked God to forgive me as I forgave. I forgot because I don't want to make the same mistake again. But I did ask for forgiveness and I gave forgiveness. Because I was not trying to be sick because I'm running around with a hard heart and a stiff neck. And as we go to Luke chapter 19, verse number 8, it says, but Zechariah stood there and said to the Lord, look, I'll give half of my portions to the poor, Lord, and if I have extorted anything from anyone, I'll pay back four times as much. You know, and I love this. Let's go back all the way because this is about Zacchaeus. He's going to say Zacharias, but Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus, you know, he climbed in the tree trying to see Jesus. So we're going to go back to the beginning of this so we get it back in context. And it says this, he entered Jericho and was passing through. There was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but he was not able because of the crowd, since he was a short man. So running ahead, he climbed up a sycamore tree to see Jesus, since he was about to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, because today it is necessary for me to stay at your house. So he quickly came down and welcomed him joyfully. All who saw it began to complain. He's gone to stay with a sinful man. But Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, look, I'll give half of my possessions to the poor, Lord. And if I have extorted anything from anyone, I'll pay back four times as much. And the rest of it says, today salvation has come to this house, Jesus told him, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. Did y'all catch that? The Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. As we talked about yesterday, 99 will not do for God. He wants all of us, and he'll go and get that one to save them and leave the 99. Because that one sinner, that one that needs him, is just as important as the 99. Hallelujah. A Psalm of David, Psalm chapter 24, verses 1 through 6. So the 24th Psalm, and it says, the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. I love this word. The world that those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. I got to read that again. That's one of our titles today. The earth is the Lord's. But I just want to say it. The earth is the Lord's. Hallelujah. And all its fullness. The world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing up from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. Selah. Gotta take a rest. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 24 and 1, the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. We belong to God. Hallelujah. We belong to God. That is just something that just permeates your spirit, that you belong to God and he claims you as his own. And it says, occasionally you may hear a teaching that claims this world is the legal property of Satan obtained in the fall. Don't believe it. Thank you, Dr. Stanley. We don't belong to the devil. I'm going to go back and we're going to read that one more time, what Dr. Stanley has to say, and I am in agreement. Occasionally, and I've heard this, you may hear a teaching that claims this world is the legal property of Satan obtained in the fall. Don't believe it. This world always has been, always will be God's. His hands, his sovereignty over to no one. He hands his sovereignty over to no one. God has not given us to the devil. This earth does not belong to the devil. We all belong to God. And the earth is the Lord's in all its fullness. For Jesus has risen. And because he's risen, everything belongs to God. And it always has. Come on now. The enemy can only be in one place at one time. What did he say? I walk to and fro around the earth. And believe me, our little selves, we always want to give the devil as much power as God. He does not have it. There's only one God, one Savior, one Holy Spirit. They are one, and the enemy cannot touch them. And because we belong to them, they have placed the edge of protection around us. If we believe, if we have faith, if we put our trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 7 through 9. He who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself. And he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. Do not correct a scoffer lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man and he will love you. give instruction to the wise, to a wise man, and I say a woman, and he will be still wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. You can't tell somebody who don't want to learn anything, who don't want to know anything, who is lazy, who is trifling, and who don't give a care what you got to say. Instead, they're going to get mad at you for telling them the truth. Constructive criticism is okay. Don't be afraid to give constructive criticism to a wise man, to a wise woman. Because if you give it to somebody that don't give a care, all you're doing is speaking to thin air. And then they're going to resent you. They're going to hate you. And then they're going to go and talk about you. If somebody is not wanting to learn, if somebody is not wanting to do better, all your talking, all your fuzzing, all your what you got to say about this or that means absolutely nothing. Nothing. All you're doing is creating an enemy. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 8, and it says this, now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn. And we know that's a Sunday. Come on now. Woo! Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. Countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. The guards fell out, fainted. But the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. Can y'all say that with me? He is not here, for he has risen. The earth is the Lord's. He has risen. Hallelujah. Jesus has risen. And this earth is his. This earth belongs to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we are grafted into their family. We belong to the Father, the Son, and the Lord. We belong to the Lord because the earth is his and he is risen. He is risen as he said. Did he say it? Yes, he did. Come see the place where the Lord lay and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. God sent a messenger to tell Mary Magdalene, he's not here. He's risen. To tell the Marys, y'all can keep it moving. He's not here. He's not here. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, rejoice! So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brother to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. Now while they were going, behold, some of the guards came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, tell them his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure. So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Until this day. It says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. We know Thomas. till I see the nails in his hands and the nails in his feet out and the piercing of his side. You know, old Dalton Thomas. But let's keep it moving. And it says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. And if Jesus said, I am with you always, then don't we understand that earth is the Lord and all is fullness, the world and those who dwell therein? If Jesus said, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age, then that means that the earth belongs to the Lord, right? Giving the devil all kind of props that are not his to have. And as we go back to the life lessons for this Matthew word, it says this in Matthew chapter 4, and the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. Hallelujah. But the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. Hallelujah. And he goes on to tell us, Dr. Stanley says, the angel ignored the tough male guard. He even sat silently on the stone that covered the entrance to the tomb. But he did not speak to the startled women. God speaks to those who want to listen. Hallelujah. God speaks to those who want to listen. And then the angel tells them, he is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Jesus did exactly what he had repeatedly said he would do. That is God's way always. We can count on his promises and build our lives on them, for he always does just what he said. And he said, I will never leave you. You and that what the word of God tells us. So we can remember and take that to the bank, that God will not forsake us. He will chastise us. He will take us through some storms, but he won't forsake us. And Jesus has just said, I have commanded you. Observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus said, I am with you. The Lord said, I will never forsake you. Understand, our Father, our Son, and our Holy Spirit will never forsake us. And they will be with us always, even to the end of age. And he put a big old exclamation of amen. Hallelujah. Matthew 28:18-19. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. It didn't say just this group of people or that group of people. It says all nations. The Lord God is wanting us to speak to everybody. Hallelujah. Our faith is not an elitist thing. It's open for whoever will want to come. Hallelujah. And as we continue, it says we can confidently bring the truth of Jesus to the world because we have Jesus' divine authority to back it up. Our job is to be his faithful messengers. Hallelujah. Have you told anybody about Jesus? Have you spoken about his greatness and his love? Have you just said, I'm a Christian, or I love Jesus? He is my Savior. Hallelujah. Say it now. I love Jesus. He is my Savior. I might be a hot mess. I might be the messiest mess out there, but I tell you what, from my mess will come a mess. From my test will come a testimony, because Jesus gave it to me. He has already paid it all on the cross for all my sins, for my ratchetness. We all are ratchet. We all have sinned. We all fall short. But God, hallelujah, but God has forgiven us, has saved us, has washed us all, has baptized us in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. My baptism was the best thing that ever happened to me as an adult. Yes, I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior at 9 years old. I was sprinkled, you know, I was baptized as a baby in the river. But I remember, I think I was like 1 or 2 years old, I remember going into the water dressed in white and being baptized in the river. My whole family got baptized. I remember that dream. I had a dream, and I called my mom and asked about it. And she said, yeah, you were baptized as a baby practically in the Ohio River. I was like, wow. Okay, I remember. Just in white. A little girl just in white. And I remember being put in the water. I don't know. And then I got sprinkled at 9 when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I got baptized, submerged in the pool, submerged in the water, baptized and born again 10 years ago. It'll be 10 years in September that I was baptized again. And I was 52, I had just turned 53 years old that March. And I gave my life completely and fully to the Lord, to baptism. When I accepted my calling to be a pastor, well, to be a minister, because I was getting licensed, and I accepted that calling. When I went in that water, it was the best thing that ever happened to me, because I did it with complete and total knowledge. 53 years old. 5 plus 3 is 8. I had a new beginning. And I needed it. I needed that new beginning. And how God does things. He did it on my husband's earthly birthday. So my spiritual birthday is the day that my husband was born. In earthly form. But he gave him a new birthday. That's all his own. Hallelujah. In October. And how God does it. I was licensed 2 days before his earth birth, his heavenly birthday. And I always look at the date of his earth birthday. It was on the 23rd of the month. And what is 2 plus 3 but grace? Hallelujah. 2 plus 3 is grace. And we were married 32 years. 3 plus 2 is 5, which is grace. God gave us grace. What a mighty God we serve. And we got married in 77. Complete 8 new beginnings. Complete new beginnings. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. 7178, come on now. God gives us dates for a purpose and a reason. I had no idea how important those dates would be in my life. But God did. And to know that Jesus said, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That even when we sleep, he's with us. Blessed beyond measure are we to be children of God, because what? The earth belongs to the Lord, and he has risen. Thank you, Jesus. And as we go to the last thing on our thing from Dr. Stanley, answers to the life's questions in our devotional this morning. Do I have a role to play in communicating God's truth to others? Hallelujah. I didn't know when I was getting that communications degree and taking those classes in theology, that this is what God was going to be calling me to do. But I'm grateful that God never gives us anything to keep for ourselves. Did y'all hear that? God never gives us anything to keep for ourselves. Whether it is money, insight, or truth, he calls us to share it. And I always say, when you take your hand and you hold it flat out, and hold it flat, and when you look at your hand, it's open. And when your hand is open, your hand is open to give. And your hand is open to receive. To give what God gives you to share, and to receive the blessings that God gives you back. Blessings come from giving. Blessings come from giving. Jesus told us to make disciples of all the nations, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Matthew 28:9-20. Jesus, just before he ascended to heaven, he told his disciples, you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Acts 1:8. Jesus let his disciples know that they were not to keep the truth he had taught them in some personal reservoir of knowledge. They were to give away everything they had received. Paul admonished his young pupil, Timothy, to communicate the truth he had learned to others who would in turn pass it along. Where else, and that's in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, where else he noted that we are ambassadors for Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:20. The sole purpose of ambassadors is to relay the policies and decisions of their superiors to the people of the countries where they serve. We have an obligation to declare the divine plan and scriptural policies of our master. And that's what we're doing on this show, sharing the knowledge of Jesus Christ to the word of God, which is this biblical instruction before leaving earth. And we call it basic instruction, but it's biblical. It's biblically based instruction before leaving earth, because we will not live here forever until the Savior comes back. Heavenly city, hallelujah, and we get to enter in the gate, hallelujah, and be heard, the Lord, hear the Lord saying, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's what I want to hear, hallelujah. Each of us communicates something by what we say and don't say, by what we do and fail to do. A father who never reads the Bible states that he's smart enough to make his own decisions without input from God. The child who never sees his parents praying learns that trials and tribulations can be handled without any direction from the Lord. On the other hand, a father who tells his family, we are going to trust the Lord to provide us with what we need, declares that God can be trusted in every facet of life. I know my sons probably get tired of hearing me say stuff like that, but I believe it with all my heart. God will provide, and he has never failed us yet. Hallelujah. Even when we remain silent, we suddenly say something. Although the Apostle Peter recognized the Gentiles as rightful recipients of God's grace, he developed the bad habit of withdrawing from them during meals. His fellow Jews soon picked up on his prideful practice, with the result that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy in Galatians 2:13. Without a word, Peter had effectively sent a message that the Gentiles were inferior. Come on now. We must honestly evaluate our responses to God's communications as we deliberately and daily applying what God has taught us. Over the years, when we comprehend the truth, we are conforming ourselves to the image of Christ. Are we then communicating this truth to others? You know, when you treat people badly, folks watch you. If you are in leadership and you show favoritism, folks watch you. If you are a parent and you treat one child better than the other child, You are creating a gulf between your children. You are creating animosity between your children because your children see, wait a minute, he got Junior this, but he didn't get me anything. He gave Daniel a big birthday party, but I didn't get a birthday party. You know, all these little things that parents can do, you can either build up or you can tear down your child. And we got to build up our children and quit all that foolishness. Favoritism is not what we need to do. We need to treat our children with the love of God equally and watch God work in their lives as he works in ours. This is all I have this morning, family. Before we get out of here, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. If there's anybody that God has given a word to, push the number 1 on your phone and your line will be open. If not, we will be wrapping it up this morning because I got to go to work. Hallelujah. And again, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And the word that God has given us today is this. When one door shuts, believe that God has opened a better one for you. Hallelujah. Have a thankful Thursday. And that's what we must do. Have a thankful Thursday. And know that the earth is the Lord's and he has risen. Thank you, Jesus, for everything you've done in our lives. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for being the Lamb of God who took our sins to the cross. It's in your name that I lift up and say, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In the name of the matchless Savior who has risen, Christ Jesus, I pray for you and yours. Keep God first in all that you do and watch him work in your life. And know that you are his because the earth is the Lord's. Quit giving the devil all kind of credit for something that does not belong to him. You don't belong to him, and this world does not belong to him. We all belong to the Father. We all belong to the Son, and we all belong to the Holy Spirit. Keep God first in everything you do and watch him work in your life. Have a blessed day, family. It is, what do we say? It's a wrap. Why? Because we got to go to work. So it's time to go to work. Who do you work for? You work for the Lord. Let him use you today. If you just tell one person about Jesus, and that one person tells another person, and that another person tells another person, just imagine how many people will be saved today. Be blessed. It's a wrap.